Good afternoon. It's good to be back here. Again, my name is Clementendo. I'm one of the pastors at One Voice, and originally from the Congo, and I'm glad to have been here at One Voice and in this building since the end of 2020. God has been gracious to me, and I'm grateful for all of you. Before we can begin our message, I would like to pray for us and then continue. Father, we thank you for your living word. Through your word, Lord, we learn of your unfailing love, and we hear your word read, and we hear a father saying, "I love you." So we pray that we may hear that today. What we don't know, please teach us. What we don't have, give us. Give us faith to trust in you. What we are not, please make us. Continue to conform us to the image of your Son. And Lord, as you draw us closer to your heart, help us share in your loving heart towards the lost. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, we'll be looking at Luke 15. I wish we could read the entirety of it, but we'll focus on verses 11 to 32, very briefly, for the time that God has given us. And we'll be focusing on what God's heart for lost sinners is. What is God's heart for lost sinners? And I would like to say first that in this chapter, what we observe is two kinds of people. One who is lost at home with his father, and one who is lost far away. I think that at times the older son is portrayed as this nice kid who obeys his father. And then the younger son who is far away, many people tend to think that actually this was the worst of kids. But the reality is, what the father wanted for his children was not just to do good things for their father or to be distant from him. He wanted a close relationship with them. And so these two sons are both lost. And so as you're thinking about that, remember that. And also, right from the beginning, we are reminded that these three parables are told in response to who? To the Pharisees. They had been seeing Jesus receiving people who were known as tax collectors and sinners. And they were coming to Jesus, rejoicing with Jesus, and yet the Pharisees could not stomach God's love for lost sinners. And so they were grumbling, and in response, God tells these stories, including this last one, which is the one we'll be focusing on. So now, hear God's word from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the youngest son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, listen, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet, you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. They said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The story we just heard, as I say it again, is part of this trilogy of three stories. Jesus is telling this story to confront the self-righteous, the entitled, those who think we are the only ones who deserve God's grace, who deserve God's love. And after they have told him, this man receives sinners and eats with them, Jesus tells stories to them to illustrate what it means to actually share in the Father's heart for lost sinners. And one truth that we observe here is that while repentant sinners are experiencing the joy of fellowship with Jesus, the self-righteous are just criticizing. And they are out. They are doing it from outside. And the climactic story is telling us that while someone can be excluded from God, while somebody can be alienated from God because of his sin, his indulgence in sin, his licentiousness, he can also be excluded because of his self-righteous, prideful self-reliance. This is what we learn here. Our passage is commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son. Now tell me, after we read this story, is it just the prodigal son that you hear in this story? How many people do we hear? We hear two sons, the younger and the older, and the father. Other people have even called it the story of the two lost sons. That's close. But when you read verse 11, what does it say? There was a man who had two sons. So, what is the story all about? It's about the father who had two sons. So we would be missing the mark if we focus only on the two sons and never get to the father. So I would like to suggest that as we go through this passage, we think about the love of this father, which is only an illustration of God the Father's love to all of us. The first two stories remind us that when big sinners repent, they are ushered into heavenly joy. Okay? And then in verse 15, these big sinners are those that were known to everybody. They were often stealing money from people, collecting more money than was required. These were people who were indulging in evil acts in the community, who people had already given a title: tax collectors and those sinners. But then this first story adds something, that unrepentant people, in this case the scribes, will be excluded because they are not repenting. And verse 7 says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Well, does a righteous person who is a human being never need repentance? All of you know what it means to be justified in Christ. It means you've been declared righteous. And yet, as a Christian, you know the struggles of sin. Do you ever reach a point where you say, oh no, I can't repent? No. We just did it today in the worship. And so these men, these 99 people who need no repentance, it's because they think that they have a righteousness of their own. These are the people who think, I grew up in the church. My father is an elder. My father is a pastor. My mother was a devout Christian. Therefore, I am also a Christian and I need no repentance. And that's what Jesus is addressing. And he's saying, these people will be excluded. And this echoes what Jesus had said in Luke 5, verse 32. He said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And as Romans 3, 22 to 23 say, there is no distinction. Why? For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So, none of us is excluded. We are either lost far away or lost near, inside the church. And what we need is the same thing that those people are outside need. We need to come to Jesus. And this is because sin is deadly. It's a deadly sickness that affects our hearts. All of us are sin sick. For our hearts to be healed, what do we need? We need a spiritual surgeon who comes and gives us new hearts. He needs to do a heart transplant. He needs to replace our hearts of stone with a heart of what? Of flesh. When we pretend to be without sin, what do we miss? We miss this heart transplant that Jesus offers. But when we offer our hearts to Jesus, He offers us new hearts. Now, many people will say, I need to first clean up myself before I can come to church. I've been struggling all week long, and things have been very, very difficult that I can't approach the throne of God. In a sense, it's true, but it's a half truth. The reality is, sin will destroy you, sin will destroy me. But God is willing to cleanse you, He's willing to help you. And this is the reason Jesus came. You remember? Luke 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and to save the lost. So it's not when you have gotten yourself out of your lostness that God is going to make you better. It's when you come as you are and acknowledge that that's where you are. Now, This is what we see in this story. The Pharisees had convinced themselves in their pride that we are not lost. We are the people who know the law. They were the theologians of their time. Many of them had PhDs in Semitic languages. They knew all these good things about religion. However, the reality is, unless we confess our lostness to Jesus, our pride will do what? It will hinder us from coming to Him. Because pride convinces us that we are not as lost as we think. And we always think the issues are in other people. Sinners out there. Those who are lost far away. And that's what the older brother is thinking. My brother has been squandering your property with the prostitutes. Why would you receive him? What does that communicate? It communicates that this older son is thinking, I'm better than that other person. And don't we do that? We always know other people's problems. Kids in homes, when they ask, who did this? Oh, no, that's not me. So-and-so made me do it. To excuse our own mistakes, our own sins. C.S. Lewis tells us something here that's very helpful. He says, as long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. So, our prideful self-righteousness keeps us outside the heavenly feast. Look at the repentant younger brother. What does he do? And what does he receive? In verses 17 and following, what does he do? He rehearses something he's going to tell his father. He says, I will go. Here, verse 17. But when he came to himself, other versions say, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. Then he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he is said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to prepare this, and I'll make sure that I really pronounce this well. And I think at this point, pain has made him hear God's voice that he's lost. And so he's acknowledged that. And so he's preparing himself. And what does he receive from his father? A loving interruption. He has not finished the whole thing that he has rehearsed, but the father interrupts immediately. And what does he hear? Quick! Bring a robe, the beautiful robe. The repentant younger brother receives his father's mercy, warm embrace, and restoration as son. He receives kisses. He receives a ring on his finger. The older brother had thought that just because he had stayed at home, he was not lost. But he too was lost as his younger brother. Though the older brother was at home, the word used in our ESV versions is served, but in the NIV it's slaving. Although he was slaving, doing good things for his father, he did not experience the love that this younger brother experiences. He was still far away from his father and his love. He had no living relationship with his father. He didn't know his heart. This explains why, when his younger brother is coming back home, what is he doing? He's resenting. He is angry. Let me ask you a question. What would a good older brother have done? Think about that for a second. What would a good older brother have done in that situation? I suppose at this point, the father is older, and the older brother still has more strength. I think he would have gone to seek his younger brother. Because if they really, truly had a relationship, he would have loved him enough to go and seek him. A good older brother would have done more than what his father did. His father was always waiting in love for his younger son. His brother would have run trying to find him in a far country. So what does this leave us with? As I say it again, these two brothers need a good older brother because they are both lost. One is lost far away and he needs to be sought. The other one is lost at home and he also needs to be pursued in love. And who is the good older brother? What do you think? Let's keep going. Before we can answer that question, keep that on hold. Before then, I would like to ask all of us here, who do you relate more to in this story? Where do you find yourself in this story? Would you say, oh, I love how the father loves this lost son, so I feel like I relate more to this lost son? Or are you saying, oh, I feel like the proud older brother at this point? Or are you somehow ambivalent? You're moving from one to the other. Because, you know, we are very complex. Sometimes we are prideful. And then, as we fail, we despair in our pride because we are failing. And so we keep oscillating between pride and despair. Pride and despair. The other question would be, some of us who have grown in the church tend to resent our parents, we tend to resent the church, and so we're like, I'm ready to now give up my faith. Others are saying, I can't wait to go to college so that I don't have to go to church. This message is a caution to all of us, and it's a word of assurance and encouragement that no matter where you find yourself right now, the Father loves you and He wants you to be near His heart. Whether you are proud or prodigal, or you're planning to do one or the other, think about the Father who is always waiting in love. Consider the fact that God is the good Father in this story. And He wants to welcome both the prodigal and He pursues the proud. And to this, He sent the wonderful older brother, even Jesus Christ. Compare two things here. The younger son has squandered everything that the father had given him. So he has no inheritance at home. He has nothing to return to. So to who does all this belong? It all belongs to who? To the older brother. And later on in our story, we are told by the father, all that belongs to me belongs to who? To you, the older brother. So everything you hear when he's given a good robe, when the fattened calf is slaughtered, when he's given a ring, when he's given shoes, to whom do these things belong to? They belong to his older brother. The good news is, Jesus Christ, who is our true older brother, does not resent his father. He leaves his glory in heaven, comes down, puts everything on the line, dies for you and for me. That's why we're seeing that by His wounds we are what? We are healed. So it means that, yes, the repentant younger brother is received. He is received. But it's not less costly. It's costly to the older brother. And in the same way, brothers and sisters, young and old, we receive forgiveness, we receive acceptance, but it's at the cost of our true older brother, Jesus Christ. He gave everything so that we may have life, we may experience the love of the Father. Friends, as I say it again, you do not have to keep trying on your own, because those works are dead. But you need to come to Jesus, because He loves you. He wants you to come and embrace your Father who loves you. Now, older brothers usually set an example for their younger brothers and sisters. And in the same way, Jesus does the same. This is a blessing that we have a true older brother who is not going to resent his father and who is not going to let us keep going in our self-destruction. However, while it's a blessing that we are on the table with our Father, it's also a responsibility. Because we are seated at the table, what we will do is we will go out and call others to come to the table, experience the love, the mercy, the grace that we have experienced. Jesus left His comfort, His glory for you and for me. And in the same way, friends, this is what we will do. We will continue to preach the gospel to ourselves, but also we will do the same for those who are lost. Both here in the church, if you see a brother who is wallowing in sin, your call is to do what? Call them to Jesus. When you see them outside there, call them to Jesus, because the same mercy I need, the same grace I need, the same love I need, all of you need it. Dr. Jack Miller, talking about evangelism, he says, evangelism is one hungry beggar eagerly eating the bread and being changed by it, and then telling the other poor beggars to eat of the same bread. So, are we going to still be hungry? Yes. So we keep eating. We keep going back to the throne room, the throne of mercy, asking for forgiveness, but also receiving the assurance that we belong to our Father. But at the same time, if really we've experienced that, there's no way we'll not follow in the footsteps of our true older brother, Jesus Christ, who came, gave Himself for us. One last thing. It's easy to rely on myself. It's easy for you to rely on yourself as we spread the love of our Heavenly Father. But our true older brother, Jesus Christ, said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And then he adds, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So yes, we experience the love of the Father, but we don't lose the connection with Him, even as we serve Him. We keep getting connected to Him more. We spend time with Him in the Word, in prayer, because from Him we have all the strength we need. And so, friends, united with Christ, this week, in the days to come, let's go and share in the Father's heart for lost sinners. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for welcoming us at your table. We pray that we won't stop coming to your table. And Father, forgive us when we pridefully choose not to come. By your Spirit and your Word, please use us as instruments in your hand to extend the gospel welcome that we've received in Christ. And Lord, in all these things, we pray that we will remain tightly connected to our true older brother, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.